Really what I would like to do is start a message and we're not going to finish it. We're just going to get into it. I'm going to give the first part of it and break it down here into sections and see when we finish it. But it'll be on Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I find a lot of principles and a lot of goodies in this verse for us, so we're gonna break it down. To steer your hearts and minds in the direction that I felt it steering mine, I will just give you an idea of where we're going. The two natures in the redeemed that God works, there's two natures that are exemplified in these trees. And the first stage that I'm going to speak on today has to do with the similarities of both of these trees. Both of these trees had something going for them, the cedar and the palm tree. The cedars of Lebanon and the palm trees in Israel had something going for them in common. And that commonality is what will lead us to seeing these principles in us, because I see how God works these things in us. So how does a palm tree and a cedar tree have anything to do with us? In order to find that, we're going to go back and we're going to see some similarities of these trees, and then we're going to find how they relate to us. The palm and the cedar were trees planted by the Lord. They weren't planted by man. You would say that all trees were really planted by God. In a sense, that is true. God planted all trees. But these particular trees that we are looking at were trees planted by the Lord. They were wild. The ones in Lebanon up in the mountaintops, they were just wild. And they grew everywhere in a very wild way. And they were very sought after because of their lasting beauty. Not in nature, but when broken. And we're going to get to that in some future episode here, but stage that we're looking at this morning has the similarity between them in that they were planted by the Lord. The palm trees and the cedar trees are called in the scripture the trees of the Lord. He planted them in ancient times, but they were called the trees of the Lord. Now, with the song that I chose for us to sing, that he might be glorified, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Here comes the first similarity between the palm trees and cedar trees and us, the nature God plants in us. We have to understand that we were planted by the Lord. First of all, we were planted in the kingdom by the Lord. We were planted. He wanted us. He made us. He brought us forth. He made sure we were the ones and not a billion other combinations when it was all happening. He made sure we were the ones that made it. He knew us before, and he spoke life into us. And at that time, he programmed us. Just like you program a ROM chip in a computer, it's permanently programmed, and it's there to educate the rest of the system every time you fire it on. God programmed our chip. God wanted us to be born in a certain place in the world. He programmed how long we were going to live. He programmed the DNA. He programmed the gifts that we would have, that we would borrow from our ancestors, and that we would be given by him directly by his Holy Spirit later and then at birth. He programmed within us so many things. I mean, it would be a message in itself today to speak on just the programming God put in us. In it is the destiny, the ministry, the lives we would touch, the influence we would have in the world that surrounded us while we lived on earth. All of these things were programmed in us before we ever got started. So, to put it all in a nutshell, like the Bible does, we're trees planted by the Lord. It says, these trees belong to the Lord. Therein is the first similarity between these trees and us. Because remember, the verse says, the righteous shall flourish. The word flourish is a very interesting word. It has to do with prospering. It has to do with growth. It has to do with development. Flourishing has to do also with giving fruit. Most of the translations in the Spanish, it was very hard for me to translate flourish because they want to put it all into fruitfulness. It will be fruitful. That is one of the qualities or one of the expressions included in flourishing. But having to look in dictionaries and Bible commentaries helps a little bit. The original in the Hebrew, because the Hebrew has no vowels, if it were one vowel, it means one thing. If it were another vowel, it means another thing. It's a very ample word. But basically, it has to do with being fruitful, with prospering, with going forward, with growing, with developing, and with maturing. It has to do with the whole process of life. And so, it would be like being planted, then the root, then the stalk, then the limbs or whatever, then the flowers, then the fruit. And so that whole process is the flourishing. Now, the whole subject here is not the trees. The whole subject is the righteous. The whole subject is God's children. God is talking about us. He is saying there is a similarity between you and the palms and the cedar trees. The first similarity is that were planted by the Lord. Those were trees planted by the Lord. Those were the trees of the Lord. They were called trees of the Lord. They belonged to Him. They were planted by Him. And the whole purpose of them existing is because of Him. And so, in this is the first similarity we want to look at. The nature that God works out in the righteous, being His children. Now, I might at times use the word children of God. I might at times use the sons or daughters of God. But we're all referring to the righteous, being righteous in Christ. We can't be righteous in our works. It's not referring to righteousness of our own works. So here we are, the planting of the Lord. When we were singing that song, "We are trees of righteousness planted by the Lord," we were actually quoting a verse in Isaiah 61:3 that says, "The children of God are called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that He might be glorified." And that was a beautiful little song that we just sang. And it brings out the theme that we're talking about this morning. So why is it important? Well, I think it's important because sometimes we don't know what origin we come from. Let me put it this way to us this morning. One of the biggest problems I find people have in counseling with them is their identity. They cannot find their identity. People lose their identity in who they are. They lose the value in who they are. Well, this answers the first question. The palm and the cedar tree, in specific, were trees of the Lord. Your identity is in Him. We belong to Him. Our identity isn't in what you do. It's not in that you're a nurse, and that you're a carpenter, and that you're a musician, and that you're a teacher, and that you're a servant, and that you're a whatever it is that you are, a CPA, whatever it is you do in life doesn't define you. What defines us is that the righteous shall flourish like the cedar tree and like the palm tree. And so the first similarity that we're looking at is our identity is found in Him. God not only takes possession of us, but God declares us to be His. In other words, there is a possessiveness. God not only feels that we belong to Him, but God made us His. So anytime you have a problem with your identity, you can just stack it up against the righteous shall be like the palm tree and the cedar tree. We belong to God. He made us His. Now, I'd like to notice a second similarity. The second similarity between these trees is that both of them are not trained or pruned by man. Did you know that the palm tree continues to grow upward, but nobody really does anything to clean it up, to prune it, to take care of it? It sort of takes care of itself. God put in it the nature of keeping up with itself, of taking care of itself. And so both of these trees are taken care of by the Lord. They're not pruned by man. He waters them. He brings the sun out on them. they're wild. They were just planted. There they are. And God takes care of them. You know what the unusual thing is? They both flourish. These trees don't easily die. These trees, planted by the Lord, taken care of by the Lord, endure. Kings from all around the world sought after these trees until they became almost extinct because of their value. And here they are, wild, growing on the top of mountainsides, especially in Lebanon. And God is saying that we, like they, not only are they similar between themselves in that neither one needs care by man, but God is now saying the righteous are like them. So now he is saying that we, like both of these trees, don't need care by man. And I'll quote the words of a song and a scripture, he careth for you. In other words, when the Bible says that the Lord cares for us, it means that we don't need to be cared for by men. It means we don't need to be educated. We have an education because we're forced to have that. But basically, we are trained by the Lord. We are cultured and cultivated by the Lord. We are taken care of by the Lord. We are watered with the water of His Spirit and His life given to us. We don't have to beg for it or try to find it. It's here all around us, and all we have to do is tap into it. We just need the roots to tap into that water stream that God has put here. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. They're available. They're abundant. God put them there. God takes care of our tree. God careth for you. God careth for us. God takes care of us. One of the first things the enemy comes to us and makes us doubt God's care for us. The Lord takes care of us, and He cares for us. In other words, here is the similarity of the righteous, like the palm tree and the cedar, that He cares for them. They didn't die. Most of them lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. The Lord gave them longevity. The Lord gave them life. The Lord took care of them. The Lord pruned them. He was the one that planted them to begin with, and He is the one that cares for them after that. So the second similarity here is that our lives are going to flourish spiritually and naturally. They're going to grow, they're going to develop, they're going to continue because God cares for us. We are God cared for, we are God planted. Now, I didn't realize we had that many similarities to begin with. I didn't realize that the Bible would take a tree and compare me to it. You know, we did speak in times past of the rush in the tree. One has roots, one does not, and compared it to our lives. And now we're looking at another aspect of God's care for us and God's planting of us, pruning of us, caring for us, and that is that the righteous will flourish. Now, I like the way he put it, David put it in the Psalms, and basically I like the word flourish because no part of the word flourish has to do with dying, withering, not making. On the contrary, flourishing has to do with developing all the way through, growing, developing, continuing, maturing, and giving fruit, blossoms and flowers and fruit, and going through the whole gamut and process of life. He's not going to ditch us halfway, okay? And I like that. God cares for them all the way through. When He says they're going to flourish, it means you're going to make it all the way to the end and have fruit to show for it. And that is something we're going to thank God for because He is going to be the one that's caring for it. Number three, that's where we're going to finish today. Number three, these trees, both of them, have something in common. They're evergreen, regardless of the season and circumstances. In the hottest of summers, in the coldest of bitter winters, they're always green. You know, some of us that have noticed a fluctuation in our life, all we need to do is come to a place of faith where we realize that God is the one caring for us. These trees are evergreen. We're not just talking about trees. The whole subject here is the righteous. He's really talking about us. The similarities of the trees are just to bring out different things. And one of the things that it brings out is that they are evergreen. Even, now I'm going to say something that your mind might fuss with a little bit, but even if you feel dead, you are evergreen. If he says we will flourish like these two trees, they have in common that they're always alive, always green. Doesn't matter how the circumstances are. Now, I'm not referring to green as we do in our terms of language, because remember that I am not referring to you not being very developed and not knowing too much. You're just, you know, green. We're not referring to this. We're referring to being alive all the time, regardless of the circumstances. So even if the devil wants to paint it black, even if it looks like it's all going south, we are going north. Even if it looks like things are dying in your life, you can say, yes, they are. Well, what does that mean? It means that certain things might be dying in your life, dying off, but you are not dying off. Remember, the palm tree every year sheds a whole level of its growth. We're going to deal with that next Sunday. It's always green. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a part of us that dies. The little pine needles in the cedar will die and fall to the ground everywhere, but that doesn't mean the tree is. You look at the tree and you hardly see where that went. Why? Because like the cells in our body, there are many that die, but because others are born in their place. Cells wear out. Things wear out. Experiences we've had in the past wear out. But evergreen means God ever gives us new experiences, new moments of life, new moments like this morning where he comes and he bathes us with new water, with life, and gives us everything we need. Yeah, there's certain things that need to die. There's certain things of our flesh, thank God, that as time goes by, die off and fall to the ground, but other things take their place. And we continue to mature and develop in God. So evergreen means that we are not subject to circumstances. We're not subject to whether we're living in a summertime of our life. You know, we'd all like to live in a Hawaii of our life, weather-wise. We'd all like to live in a springtime of our life, in a fall of our life. No, we're going to have winters. But in winter, we're green. In summer, we're green. In springtime, you'd expect we're green. No, we're just green. In fall, when everything loses its leaves, we still stay clothed. Can I remind you that it refers here to the righteous? Do you know, when so many people in the world lose their clothing, we always are clothed. Do you know that even when you feel in a winter time of your experience in life that you are not clothed in righteousness, you're still clothed in righteousness? Did it not say that he clothes us? So, if he clothes you, how can you take it off? Some trees are deciduous in their leaves, in their clothing. Ah, but there's something nice about these trees that God likens unto us. They don't get their clothes ripped off. They have their clothes on all the time. Once clothed in his righteousness, he doesn't remove it. Regardless of how you feel, your feelings are going to go through winter. Your feelings are going to go through sizzling hot summers. Doesn't matter what your feelings are like. God says you are like the palm and the cedar, in that you're always evergreen. God says we are clothed all the time, regardless of the circumstances and the feelings and the weather. We are evergreen. You know, the Bible says, at the scent of water, even a tree that's cut will again grow. At the scent of water. You know, I could see some still evergreen in your spirit, but your soul was getting pretty languished. Have you noticed these plants that are still evergreen? I've got one in my front yard. If you leave it without a little water or too much sun comes out, all the leaves just fall, collapse, and just looks like it's going to die any moment. You give it a little bit of water, and the temperature in the day cools down just a tiny little bit, prop up again like nothing happened. It's so fakey. It's the fakiest tree. But regardless of whether its leaves are downcast or whether it's up and bright and shiny, they're still green. God is saying that we are still green, at times droopy green, but we are green. And at a little moment like today where that the scent of water up goes the droopy leaves, but always green. God's idea was to give us everlasting life. He that believes in Him, He gives them everlasting life. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. So, what He is saying is, droopy or not, regardless of your feelings, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of the season in your life, because we do go through seasons of desert, times of winter, of summer, and we do go spring times, we're all doing great. You know, everybody loves you to be in springtime, but the truth of the matter is all kinds of seasons come by. Let me remind you that these trees don't flourish just because there are no winters there or because there are no summers there. They get the force of all four, but they're always solid. They're always constant. They're always there because they're planting of the Lord. God put His planting in us, in our spirit man. Our spirit man is always green. It's always holy. It's always righteous. It's always taken care of. It's always alive. It's always green. So, we've just started in the similarities of these trees in us. And so, it's way too long to go on with this. So we'll finish this first segment right here and go on again with the similarity, but go through the Word. Think yourself what things are in common with these trees and us. And one of the beauties of this is that God's not saying you're just a tree. He's not downgrading us to a tree status. God is just liking us to the things of these trees. He said, just like they flourish, you will flourish. So I'm just trying to find out how they flourish and what happens when they flourish and what are they like and something about them. It's not necessarily a class on botany. This is finding things in the nature and in the life of these trees that He likens us to. Why does He say we shall flourish like them? Why doesn't He say that we flourish like some other tree? He could have thought of anyone. Why these? What did He know about these? Being a shepherd out in the land and observing these things, why did He liken us to these? Why did He say we would flourish like these? To begin with, it's already telling me that these flourish. So I like that verse just because of that to begin with. That's what caught my attention. It caught my attention because it doesn't say you're going to die like them. It doesn't say, you know, they're short-lived and that's going to be you. Because there are other scriptures where He did that, but He likened it to grass, okay? And to weeds that today are here and tomorrow are gone. It's not the one that caught my attention, okay? When He likened our life being so short as the grass of the field that today springs up and is green and tomorrow is gone, withers and gone. This is something that flourishes. This is something that endures. These are trees that go on for hundreds of years. These are trees that have some import and importance. Now, I want to finish by saying this, that although David did understand the principles in these different natures, he didn't say, and the Bible doesn't quote, God as having planted weeds. It said they came up because of the curse. The curse planted that and brought short-livedness. God planted these trees. Everything the curse does is short-lived. That ought to bring a good idea to us. You know what the positive is in that? That if the grass is short-lived, the grass also refers to sin. It also refers to this carnal nature. It also refers to our life on earth, which is short. I'm glad that God designed it so that the longevity of our life is in heaven. People that die don't ever want to come back here after tasting that. So I'm glad God made that the long part instead of here. However, I'm also glad that God planted the righteous, that God put us in this earth and is going to take care of us. He's going to prune us. He's going to be the one responsible for us. He's going to make sure we have all the nourishment we need. He is going to make sure we stay green regardless of the circumstances. He is the one that's going to make sure we're full of life regardless of the season in our lifetime. He is the one that's going to care for us. And I am very grateful for that.